Welcome to another episode of You Have to Meet My Friends. I started this episode and these shows because I wanted to call my friends randomly, and they don't know that they're going to be on the podcast, but they're about to be on. And it's because I talk to a lot of my friends and I'm like, hey, you want to be on the podcast? I'd love to have you on. You have a great message to share. And then they're like, oh, I can't schedule. What do I have to do? But I like to surprise them. So we're going to surprise my buddy. I just texted him actually and just said, hey, you know, can I call you real quick? And he doesn't know that he's going to be on the podcast, but his name is Joshua Earp. This guy is one of the most well-connected guys in Hollywood, hanging out with, you name it, he's hanging out with them. So let's see if we can get Joshua Earp on the phone right now. Randomly call, and he has no idea. Here we go. Ah, oh, man. Well, he's not answering on that one. Let's see if we can get, we're going to hook this up to make sure our Bluetooth is working so we can make sure that we can get somebody on. And I have another friend too, which is so funny because Mr. James Dixon has called me like 5 times today and has not answered. He's come back. So let's do this. We're gonna call Joshua Earp again, because let's get this guy. Here he goes. He has no idea he's gonna be on the podcast. But this is how cool all of my friends are.
Is this the official Kelly Cardenas, or Cardenas, however you want to say it? Because I have multiple friends with that same last name that say it differently. How are you doing, Mr. Kelly?
Hey, I'm doing amazing, man. I got to ask you one question, though, right off the bat.
Well, only if I can say one thing before you ask the question, which is you never have to ask if I have a minute for you, brother, because I will fucking dedicate as much time as it takes to do anything I can to be of value, service, and contribution. So just always remember that. I'm always here for you, brother.
Well, I appreciate it, man. Would you be okay with being on the podcast?
I would love to, man. I would be incredibly honored. You know, usually these types of things I turn down, but you can't say no to Kelly. I mean, you could. It would just be highly detrimental to your spirituality, you know?
Well, I'm glad to hear that, and all of our listeners are glad to hear that, because you're live right now, Joshua Earp, the most
welcome. I'm live right now. Well, thank God I didn't tell you all the other stuff I was going to tell you.
Well, you and I prefaced it with, honestly, I've never seen a more well-connected guy, but this is the caveat, man, is you don't roll like most people in your position would roll. You roll with your heart first. You connect on a genuine level. Why is that, and how do you continue to do that?
So why is it? Well, that's a great reason that you're asking the question why, because, you know, I was actually just hanging out with Simon Sinek the other day, and he wrote this book called Start With Why, and, you know, he's also gave some speeches about it, and, you know, he's very, you know, humble about it. But essentially, you know, the reason why is so important, because people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it, right? And so you know, and the fact that you're even, number one, have a podcast, but number two, you're asking questions. I mean, that's the whole thing. Questions are the answer. You know, the quality of life we live is determined by the quality of questions that we ask to the quality of individuals that we ask them to. And so, you know, you're just shining so bright, and you're on such another level, dude. It's just like I don't even know if you're consciously aware of it. You're just naturally awesome, man. So here's the thing. So to answer your question, why do I lead with my heart? Because you have to trust your heart, and you have to trust your intuition, because they somehow already know what you truly want to become. And we attract who we become. And so if we want to attract higher quality people into our lives, well, then guess what? We have to become a higher quality person ourselves through the utilization of self-discipline. Specifically, as Napoleon Hill says in his book, Outwitting the Devil, we must avoid susceptibility to negative influence through the utilization of self-discipline. And that's why I just got out of a 6-year-long relationship. But because I wanted to avoid the negativity. But here's the thing, guys, is for everyone listening, is success is not what we have, it's who we become. And we can have more than we've got by becoming more than we are. And the way we do that is through self-discipline. The only problem with self-discipline is that the person doing the disciplining is not qualified for the job. So that's why you know, it really helps to have smart, great people, loving people around you like Kelly, because of the fact that he can be sort of like what's known as an accountability partner. And that's very important. And so how do I do it? By focusing internally and becoming the best person you can, because you have to be realistic. You're not going to be hanging out with billionaires, celebrities, royal families, and intellectual icons like Kelly and I, you know, all the time, every day, if you don't focus on becoming someone worth value, right? So working harder on yourself, because if you work hard on your job, you'll make a living. But if you work harder on yourself, you'll make a fortune. Now, I don't mean self-sacrifice. A lot of people think they have to sacrifice their own happiness, sacrifice their own self for other people, and that is the wrong way to do it. Even sacrificing yourself for God, that is not what God, which by the way is the electromagnetic pulse behind all living beings, esoterically known as consciousness, esoterically known as light, esoterically known as information. But what I will say is self-sacrifice leads to resentment, but self-development, however, leads to respect. And so that's why we always need to understand that success, which is the progressive realization of a worthy idea or goal, does not far exceed what is known as personal development.
Tell me too, Josh, help me with this, because I brag about you all the time, but I don't think that people they don't really understand. Sometimes they see your highlights, but they don't see all the work that's going into it. Right. So tell me a life in the day of Joshua. Like what'd you do today, man?
Well, what did I do today? I made shit happen, bro. I woke up. I was grateful. Every single, like, the deal of the century comes around every day over here, man. But I just, the thing is, man, it's just, I'm really just focusing on helping other people. And whenever you, you know, legitimately really want to help and you lead with value without expectation in return, you'll be very surprised what happens. And, you know, I'll tell you a little short story just while we're on the podcast, so that way your listeners can be more bored and their eyes can gloss over. But I'll keep it short. Don't worry. So I used to throw these extravagant, you know, parties in the Hollywood Hills and everything else and have all these crazy people and whatnot. And, you know, I'll never forget it. You know, Corey Feldman, you know, his brother was a good friend of mine. He was like the number one childhood actor in the world or whatever. He was famous before he ever even knew his own name. But that's what happens when your uncle's a big time Hollywood agent. But, you know, and by the way, he's not a rags to riches story. He's a riches to rags story. It's a little bit different. But nonetheless, here's the thing. So I was throwing an event in the Hollywood Hills. You know, I was working with Drake's manager at the time. You know, I had all these crazy people there. I'm not going to drop names, but it was a really crazy event, you know, just because I invited some people from my network. And basically, you know, it was like one of the biggest houses in Hollywood Hills. So this really short Jewish man comes up to me and he says, you know, he was introduced by Corey's brother. He said, Josh, you don't know who I am, but you saved my life. So I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to help you. And he said, wait until you figure out who the fuck I am. He didn't say the word fuck, but I'm adding some accentuation. And by the way, I dropped out of high school and I did take French, but I dropped out. Didn't go to college, but got asked to speak at Harvard. It's funny how that works. Schooling doesn't test intelligence, they test obedience. But anyway, so I said, okay, well, what are you talking about? You don't owe me anything. You know, I don't even know who you are. Like, what are you talking about? He said, Josh, this is right around that time that the synagogue got shot up here in LA, you know, and a lot of people died, unfortunately. And he said, Josh, he said, this Saturday at your event, I was supposed to be at that synagogue that got shot up.
Wow.
And he said, however, someone invited me to your party and I decided to go to that instead. So it's because of you that I'm still alive right now, because all of my rabbis and all my friends are now dead. And then first of all, I was completely like taken away. I was like, holy fuck, this is crazy. And sorry for saying the F-bomb so much, but you know, okay. It is what it is.
Yeah.
I'm actually not sorry, to be honest with you. But anyway, so here's the thing. Cause I'm unapologetically myself and I expect every one of you guys listening to be as well. But here's the thing though, Kelly. So he said, my friend is Larry Silverstein. He owns the World Trade Center. We call him Lucky Larry, which for several other reasons we'll get into. He told me he's like doing a concert with Lady Gaga in outer space and he's friends with Richard Branson and all this stuff. And so, you know, one of the lessons he imparted on me, and then I'll turn it back over to you, is, you know, he said, Josh, all I do in this world is I just give, give, and give, and give. And I just don't expect anything in return. And even if the person that I'm giving to does not return the favor, he told me that, he said, the universe always finds a way to reward me. So even if it doesn't come from the original source. And so that, my friend, is one hell of a story, I agree. But at the same time, there's a very valuable lesson that's contained within there, which is that giving is what starts the receiving process. And so if you want to be connected with more high-level people, you have to practice the art of giving. It's okay to act in your own self-interest. We're all humans. We all have self-interest. It's okay. Don't deny. Don't lie. That's the motto for today. Don't deny. Don't lie. We are all selfish to some certain extent, but it's okay to act in your own self-interest as long as you do what's called acting in your own intelligent self-interest, which means by giving first, because that, my friend, is what starts the receiving process, which, by the way, is where you get the word Kabbalah. It's Hebrew for reception.
Wow. So tell me about this, because how do you discern then? This has been a big word that's been around. How do you discern when to give, who to give to, and you know, where do you...
Give to everybody. Give to everybody.
Really?
Even if there's a homeless guy on the side of the road and, you know, he can't do a damn thing for you, still give. Because I'm telling you right now, once again, it's the universal law of karma. You can't make this shit up. And sorry, maybe a little noisy. I'm passing the highway right now. But anyway, so the thing is, always give no matter what. Because I'll tell you what, Kelly, your character is defined by how you treat other people that cannot do a damn thing for you. Your character is not defined by how you treat people that can do a lot for you. It is defined by that of which individuals comprised of those in the category that cannot do anything at all for you. And that, my friend, is your true character.
Wow. Wow. Man, you are absolutely phenomenal, man. I can't wait. I'm going to schedule the time to come up and spend some time because, you know, we had talked about the podcast. We had talked about some things that you had some ideas with, which we'll be releasing later. But I got to get up to that Joshua whiteboard because I cannot wait to spend some time with you, man.
Well, your perception, thank you for all the kind words. Just on that topic, I will say is that, you know, your perception of me is simply a reflection of you.
Thank you.
Because we are all the creative experience, or we are all the creative expression, rather, of the universe experiencing itself. We are all one. We are all part of the whole. Even though we are all individual parts, we are expressing ourselves as the whole. And so that's why with Dr. Wayne Dyer, he said that when you harm one individual, you're not just harming one individual. You're harming every individual. You're harming the generic individual, which also comprises of yourself.
Dude, you have been such a blessing in my life, man. And our conversation the other day, you know, taking the time and spending a little bit of time, you have no idea how much life you breathed into me. And I want to thank you so much. I want to thank you for answering and for being on the podcast, man. This is I started the episodes like you got to meet my friends. And so, you know, calling people randomly and you answer it and you deliver it on the highest level, man. I appreciate you.
Well, me being one of the lower people in your network, because you are, Kelly, for crying out loud, I really do appreciate the opportunity. Thank you for messing with the small guys like me. And it really shows your character because, you know, you're just an amazing person, brother. You really are. You're a breath of fresh air in a world full of pollution. I've known you for several years now to be able to make a discerned judgment and not judgment, but just a discerned, you know, view of character. And I'll tell you what, man, you've always kept it A1 since day one, bro. I mean, I remember the first time I ever met you, I said, so what do you do? He said, well, I like to read. I like to write. Just kept it super, super humble, super, super cool. Like, I do the same thing, even though I'm involved in television and movies, and I've got the craziest people around me and all this stuff on an everyday basis, man. It's just, like, I tell people the same thing. They say, what do you do? And I say, whatever it takes. You know, that's what I do.
Can you give them a taste? Just, I mean, because I don't like to lead with this stuff, but I can you give them a taste of what it is, like the scope of some of the things that you're doing? I like to brag about it.
It's not bragging. It's just facts, you know, and I'll be happy to lay some factual statements down on the line so people can understand that this information is not coming from you know, the random guy down the street. Even though I am still just a regular guy, we're all on the same level. We're on the human level. That's what matters. And so, yeah, I'm advising a project called Involio with Mark Randolph, who's the founder of Netflix. And we're partners also with Charles Schwab, not the company, the man himself. I'm an advisor to billionaires, celebrities, royal families, intellectual icons. You know, I'm friends with Kelly. That's actually the first, you know, accomplishment, honestly, because he's very selective. The other thing is, you know, we won 23 Emmys for the show we did called The Bay, which if they look me up on IMDb, I did the marketing and publicity for that, and about to help them executive produce that. And, you know, I'm working with the top executives of MTV with casting and producing shows on television. And I've got, you know, I've ran a marketing SEO agency in Beverly Hills for over a decade. And, you know, I work with the youngest self-made billionaires in the world. And there's just so many crazy things. But, you know, like you said, it's to the point where it does feel like bragging, even though it's not. And so, you know, that's why I just say, hey, my name's Joshua. It's nice to meet you. You know, I look forward to being a value, and I just leave it at that, you know.
Well, and I love this because for anybody listening, I have to extract these things because where Josh and I first met was playing pool. We were playing pool, just having a good time, talking about life, talking about friends. And again, always leading with his heart. Josh, you are a phenomenal human being, man. And I can't wait to see you, man. Thursdays seem to be good. Am I correct?
Absolutely, brother. Well, you know what? So since I am going through a 6-year-long, not divorce, because I wasn't stupid enough to get married, but 6-year-long, you know, separation from my significant or less significant other now, I have a lot more time freed up, man. And so I'm a lot more free, you know. Okay. So I'm totally down to make something work for sure. Okay.
Well, I'm going to get up there. So I appreciate you, man. You're officially off the hot seat, and I love you a ton, man.
Well, thank you so much. And yeah, just for anyone, you know, I guess one of the best places to find me is, you know, on Instagram. My Instagram reposts to Facebook, but I just don't really check it that much. But yeah, my Instagram, for anyone interested in following me, is at joshua.earp, E-A-R-P, joshua.earp. And yes, I am related to Wyatt Earp, which is something I forgot to mention, but I don't read history books and I don't watch Netflix very often. So, you know, I don't blame anybody for not knowing who that is, but ultimately, thank you so much for all the kind words. I really appreciate it. I'm very grateful. I can't tell you how grateful I am, man. And, you know, I always say, speaking of gratitude, that, you know, we have to become grateful in order to become great. Mm. And I'm just very, you know, enthused, not excited, because that is external. Enthusiasm is internal. That's where you get the word entheos, which means of God or whatever that universal energy is up there you'd like to call it. And that's why Napoleon Hill wrote an entire chapter in his book, Think and Grow Rich, based on not excitement, based on enthusiasm. And so the thing is, you know, Think and Grow Rich, second best-selling book next to the Bible, changed my life at an early age and created more millionaires than any other book, which was actually a long-form sales letter for his much larger work called The Laws of Success. However, Napoleon Hill borrowed several ideas from Wallace D. Waddell's Science of Getting Rich, which I highly recommend as well.
Yes. Well, I'm going to put links to all of them. I'm going to put links to your Instagram. I'm going to put links to the books in the bio. And so that way it's unbelievable to follow your journey too, man. And I'm so grateful to be able to call you my friend and to be on this journey with you, man.
Well, thank you. And I guess, you know, the feeling's more than mutual, man, more than mutual. And the thing is, you know, while we're on the topic of books, I guess another great thing to leave off on would be the neuropsychology of self-discipline. You know, this is a book, which you can read it online or you can listen to it on YouTube for free. It's like old school. It's like Maxwell Maltz, psycho-cybernetic days type of vibe. Very, very old stuff, like a 4-hour-long thing. Just play it and listen to it while you're working. Play it and listen to it while you're sleeping. Play it and listen to that shit, man, because the neuropsychology of self-discipline explained very clearly, and I'll leave off on this, is that self-discipline not only is the bridge between your dreams and reality, by the way, but self-discipline is the closest thing we can have to a wish-granting fairy godmother. It's almost like having a genie and a magic lamp. As long as we know how to rub it or use it correctly, it can grant our every single wish and desire. And as the neuropsychology of self-discipline states, that when you force yourself to do something you don't feel like doing, when you don't feel like doing it, eventually you will feel like doing it.
Wow. Dude, you're incredible, Josh. I love you, man.
I love you too, brother. And I love everyone. I've got love for my fellow man. I love everyone on this call, even though I haven't even met them, because the core of my essence and being is love. And that is what holds the universe together. So thank you very much for the opportunity. I appreciate it. And I know I'm a little over the top, but it's better than being under. Trust me, I've tried both.
Hey, I love it, man. That's what it's for. But getting comments already, just saying that they love you. They're thanking you for your words of wisdom, Josh. And like I said, I'm going to have a link in there, and I look forward to having you on this show many, many more times. So when you see that call come
through,
make sure you answer, bro.
Oh, I always do. Do I not?
Yes, you do. I love you,
most
man.
Most people I don't answer, but when I see Kelly's name coming across, I have to answer, you know? Well, that's how I feel.
I love you, man. You're an incredible human, man.
Well, thank you, brother. And it takes one to know one. And you know what? We attract, we become everything we've always had or ever had. We have attracted to us by the person we've become. And that's why I can say with full confidence that I love your listeners as well, because they were attracted to you by the person you became, which is an amazing individual that's heart-centered and truly wants to help. And that's why we're at where we're at right now. And pardon the Lamborghini is driving by. That's our mutual friend Tonino, by the way, you know, founder of Lamborghini, son or whatever. But anyway, so thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it. I look forward to connecting, being of value. And if anyone does reach out to me, please let me know that you're from Kelly's group, so that way I can attribute and pay respect and dues there, because I really am very grateful and I'm very giving back. So thank you to everyone listening. And thank you, Kelly, for being the awesome person you are. And in the meantime, just don't do anything I wouldn't do. And if you do, just name it after me and I'll be cool with it.
I love you, man. You're the best, man. I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Thanks. Well, hey,
okay.
You're the best. And then there's the rest. Thanks again, buddy.
All right, bro. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. I keep telling you that I have the greatest friends in the whole entire world. That's Joshua Earp. I'm going to have his information on the bio. I'm going to call this young lady, and I want her to answer so bad because she impacted my life in such an incredible way. This is one of I'll wait to introduce her to see if she'll actually answer our call. She called me. She called through, and then I'm calling her back. So I'm trying to get her because the impact that this woman has had on my life has been unbelievable.
Hi, this is Sylvia Stein. Mr. Call, leave me a message and I'll get back to you.
What's up, Willie? Hold on for a second.
Yep.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Awesome, man. Are you okay with being on the podcast?
I'm on it. I don't have a choice.
So those of you listening, this is my best friend since fourth grade, William Howard Simmons. Welcome to the show, brother.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, I hear that you were a super responsible father yesterday, and tell them what you did.
I can't confirm nor deny what I'm about to say, but
hypothetically, what would you have done yesterday?
What I would have done, hypothetically, theoretically, I would have called in a fake dental appointment to my son Daxie's school and pick him up so we can go to the Angel game that started at 1:10 p.m. yesterday.
But Willie, I think this is the coolest thing ever, because I was thinking about your dad, and you know, for most of the people out there listening, it's Mr. Simmons, or as William's mom used to call him. And could you imagine Mr. Simmons, your pop, pulling you out of Crestview and taking you to a Dodger game?
Never.
But imagine like the generational change. Right. And that's what I was noticing yesterday with the picture, the memory that your son is going to have. Now, I'm not talking about the memory. This is a hypothetical memory, but the hypothetical memory that your son will have. Well, obviously the principal is probably going to have a different memory of you. but I mean, to see the joy in that little guy's face, I mean, how was that?
Oh, theoretically it would have been amazing. You know, I would assume he would be very happy and really enjoy himself because he's a huge baseball fan, and any chance to go to the ballpark, he would hypothetically not pass it up.
Well, I think it's cool too, because with our dads, not to say that they wouldn't have done it. Our dads just couldn't do it at the time. Right. And so the work that they did, being in the military, serving in the military, the way that they did, your dad retired from the military. How many years? 28 years. Thank you for his service. My pops was in 14 years. It was just a lifestyle that probably we wouldn't have been able to do those things. But now seeing the next generation, that's what I was so proud of. I looked at it and I saw the video, you know, you faked him out, or hypothetically you faked him out. And then took him to the ball game. He's got a little, what's this little stuffed animal thing that he's got?
That's a rally monkey.
That's a rally monkey. Okay.
It's allegedly a rally monkey.
Okay. Like if you went to the ball game during school, took him out of school, it would be a rally monkey. Hey, you know what's weird about this, Will?
What's that?
Okay. You took your son out of school. I took my daughter out of school today. You want to know why?
Huh?
There was an active shooter warning or scare at her school today.
Oh, wow. Times we live in, my man. That's crazy.
It's a nuts thing. I was saying, like, I wish they would find him.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's just unfortunate that, you know, part of, you know, what our kids learn in school is, you know, how to prepare for those kinds of, you know, unthinkable situations. And, you know, we never had to do that. I think that early on the base, I don't know if you remember this, but there would be the horns that would go off.
Oh, yeah.
And occasionally we'd have like some kind of drill where you'd have to get under the desk, but like we were still in the Cold War.
Yeah,
you know,
it was like duck and cover.
Yeah, it was a different world.
Do you know that they're telling kids now, like my daughter, when she went through it today, they tell the teachers and the kids to get a weapon. Do you know this? I didn't know this. They ask them to get a weapon, whether it be like some scissors or like the fire extinguisher, they hide and then they get a weapon. Like, this is true stuff. This just happened today. Yeah. It's crazy stuff, man.
It is crazy. It's unfortunate. And I personally think that America has a unhealthy infatuation with firearms. Yeah. And I'm not a gun guy, never have been, but America loves some guns, man.
It's wild. It's wild.
It's like we elect people and they work hard to protect the rights of guns over the lives of children. And I think that is not only wrong, but morally reprehensible. It's disgusting.
Yeah. It's wild to see it, because my daughter, I'm watching her. She actually, on the positive note, she's opening Catch Me If You Can tonight. I'm actually going to, I've got about 5-10 minutes and then I got to go and take her to that. But so it's opening night. But the fact that she has to deal with something like that on opening night is silly. Like it's crazy to think, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's traumatic.
Well, it's wild. So as you know, I'm the king of transitions. Speaking of shooting, let's talk about the NBA NBA playoffs. How are you feeling on them right now?
I've enjoyed watching them thus far. It's either a good game or a blowout, it seems, thus far. But yeah, there have been some fun games. I've enjoyed it.
Are you a good dad during the playoffs? Because I'm not. I'm not a good husband. I'm not a good friend. I'm not a good father. I literally, like, my kid, and like, Maddox will ask me a question, and I'll just be like, man, I can answer you in probably 4 or 5 hours because there's 3 or 4 games going.
Yeah, it's, you know, you gotta try to find that balance. But, you know, I'm pretty good at multitasking.
Who do you take in the finals? Like it's or in the playoffs? It's tough for me because I'm a Warriors fan. I still believe that they should be in the playoffs. The play-in, I mean, it's one of those things. We shouldn't have got beat, but we got smoked by the Kings, and then the Kings got smoked by the Pelicans. But if you want me to get into NBA, should I hit him with some NBA math?
Do it.
Well, the Pelicans used to be the Hornets. The Hornets used to have Larry Johnson. Larry Johnson was from Las Vegas, and Las Vegas has been known for rigging games. So I believe that game that they played against the Kings was rigged.
Wow, that's quite the theory. I'm fairly certain that you may be the only one that believes that.
Are you sure? I believe there's a whole forum of people out there, man, that that could back this. It's substantiated, theory, almost law. But who do you think that is going to get it in the playoffs?
Well, my hope is that it's neither the Celtics or Lakers.
Good.
I would like to see the Knicks would be fun.
Yes.
The New York Knicks being relevant has been good for the league. And they have a really good team. They're fun to watch.
I don't know if they can beat the Knicks and the Heat in the finals, in the Eastern Conference Finals, I think is going to be good. Okay, here's a controversial thing that I've said in the past, but I'm going to say it. I'm going to lay it down so it's on, like, so it's recorded, or as Jacob and Jacoby would say, or as Jalen and Jacoby would say, on wax. KD, superstar, non-superstar?
I think he's a superstar, but, you know, that's just based on his talent. You know, but being a superstar doesn't mean that you bring the right mix to a team and put them on the path to a title.
See,
I don't think the Suns are built to win a championship. They're not.
No, I don't believe so. Now, what about what do you think of the Clippers?
Clippers looked good last night.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but I'm rooting for the Mavs, and I'll.
I think Mavs Nuggets, in the Western, in the Eastern, Knicks Heat. That's my prediction.
That's strong, and the Heats have no Jimmy Butler.
I know. Is he going to come back?
I think so.
I think he'll be back, but they looked strong last night. I mean, I don't think that the Celtics are real.
Nope, they're a great regular season team. Mm-hmm. Also, not built to win a championship. I love Jason Tatum, but that team is obviously missing some pieces.
Yeah, I think so. When's the next baseball game you're going to?
Saturday night.
Yes. Who are they playing?
They are playing the Minnesota Twins.
Awesome.
It's Mandalorian Rally Monkey Night, and as a family of Star Wars fans, mm-hmm. We have to be at the ballpark for Star Wars night.
True or not true, you had almost every single Star Wars character known to man.
True.
That's how we, I mean, you were like, I was just about to say a reference, but you can't use that reference anymore. Because it used to be if you had all the stuff, you were like the P. Diddy of that thing. But now that reference probably wouldn't work.
Yeah. Well, please never refer to me as the P. Diddy of anything. Yeah, do not.
I don't know that there could be a worse comparison.
No.
That would actually be like fighting words. You know what I mean? Like back in the day, back in the day, you could say like, oh, you are the P. Diddy of X. And people were like, yeah, I'm balling. You know what I mean?
But, that has a whole other connotation these days.
But I remember, when we would play football in your hallway, with the Star Wars characters. And then I would go home and try and recreate it. But I had all the like the off-brand Star Wars stuff. And the Transformers. Do you remember the ones that I had? We talked about them the other day.
I do. I can see them. I can picture them. What were they called?
They were called Zybots.
Zybots.
So
wow.
Yeah, the Transformers, you remember, that was you. That was you were the P. Diddy of Transformers.
No, I was not the P. Diddy of Transformers. Whoever's listeners, no. No, I was never the P. Diddy of Transformers.
Yeah, I just got a picture of you with the Transformers being P. Diddy, too. So it'll never go away in my mind. If you didn't have Transformers, you had GoBots because they were kind of the ghetto, like the little bit ghetto version. But then there was the worst version of Transformers, which is the Zybots, and they didn't even transform; they just flipped over. So it was like a boat, and then you flipped it over, and it was a car. Your Transformers.
Yeah, and there's like a smiley face on the bottom. It's supposed to be the robot face, written in Sharpie marker.
and you saw that I found them. I found them on eBay, and they're selling for a good. It's kind of like crypto. You know what I mean? I should have invested at the time.
Yeah. I think everyone should invest in vintage Zybots.
Yes, Zybots. I'm going to put a link in the bio for it. Willie, as I go, it's opening night for McKenna. Can you give her a little shout out?
Shout out to McKenna. I believe that the appropriate phrase is to say break a leg, but that's so weird.
Yeah, I don't know where
that
came from.
So don't break your leg. Just get out there and give your best performance you can and enjoy it. Have fun.
Well, Uncle Willie, as my kids know you as, they absolutely love you. I love you more than anything in the world, man. And, it means the world to me to have a friend like you. I mean, most people don't have friends for 10 years. I've got a chance to be able to be friends with this young man for over 40 years. We've been best friends. And been through the highs, the lows, everywhere in between. And Will, my hat's off to you. I love you to death. I'm going to go and spend time with my daughter and cheer her on at her Catch Me If You Can premiere tonight.
Yes, I do have one question.
Yes.
Before we go. How are you going to ask me if I want to be on the podcast when I'm already on the damn podcast? That reminds me of the time that Dale went in my kitchen. I heard him get a plate out. I heard him get a knife. I heard him cut a piece of cake. I heard him put the piece of cake on the plate. And then he comes out of the kitchen. Hey, man, can I have a piece of cake? I'm like, hey, MF-er, you already cut it. And it's already on a piece of plate. So just go ahead and eat it.
Well, it's the way I could get you, man, and I love it. And what we'll have to do, you're going to have to help me because some of our friends are hearing about this. You have to meet my friends episodes where I call my friends randomly. So sometimes what we'll have to do is I'll have to call you, and then we'll three-way call them so they'll answer.
See, the word is out, man.
Well, we want the
word is out.
We want the word to be out, but we want people to answer their phones too.
Yes, indeed.
So
yeah, next time I see your number pop up and it goes straight to voicemail. Remember we had this conversation.
Man, I love you, man. You're the greatest.
Love
man.
You too, buddy.
Okay, I'll see you soon.
Hey, enjoy, man. See ya.
Okay. All right, bye-bye. That was my best friend, Willie, Willie Will. Uncle Willie, as my kids call him, and or Willie D, as we call him. And my best friend since fourth grade, over 40 years of friendship. This has been another episode of You Have to Meet My Friends, where I randomly call my friends in my phone. They have no idea. And then I ask them if it's okay for them to be on the podcast. I had a great time. I hope you did too. My name is Kelly Cardenas. Keep laughing until I see you next time. And I love you a bunch. Thanks so much for the support. And make sure that you answer your phone. Peace, love, and soul.